Father, that's our cry this morning. We ask that you would just come and fall afresh on us this morning. We ask this morning that you'd open our hearts, God, that we would hear your word as it's spoken to us this morning, God. That you'd speak to our hearts, that you would minister to us. God, we love you this morning. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you're glorified in it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When is this? Sosabai. Sosabai. Say Sosabai back. Sosabai. Sosabai in Khmer means how y'all did. Buenos dias means good morning. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to go and do these conferences every year. I must admit I enjoy it very much. The travel this time was extremely difficult and hard, but man, people are hungry for the Lord, hungry to hear, hungry to grow. We had about 20-something leaders in the Peruvian conference, and then we had about 69 pastors that came to the Cambodian Pastors Conference last week. And just hungry. Thank you. Beautiful time. Susan and I were stuck in the airport. Tony got to come home from Peru, I think because he's a Mexican, I think. They let him through. That's what he said anyway. And we were stuck going and coming. They had more rain in Peru in that week of time than they have had in 10 years. Unbelievable. There are places in Peru, it didn't rain. I mean, it didn't rain. It just didn't rain. There are places in Chile that average like a tenth of rain a year out there in that desert. It's not a desert like we got. I mean, that stuff out in California makes this look like paradise. Like California's the paradise. It's just really dry and barren. So we were stuck there. And so we had planned really strategically that I would at least get a day's sleep or night's sleep at my house. We'd fly back from Peru. I could sleep, then leave the next day to go to Cambodia, and maybe that would help a lot. Well, we got in at noon Friday, and the plane for Cambodia left at 7 Friday. And so I came home, washed my clothes, put them in a bag, and off we went. And so, needless to say, when we got to Cambodia, I was beat. I mean, I was going, Lord, this was a bad idea. I can't do this. I couldn't think. I didn't know what day it was. I was walking around like a zombie. And so we got home, and normally we go to a church and minister that night. We get there, and I told Kyle and Amy, he says, y'all go. I can't go. I'm going to bed. I mean, I can't function. Well, so I went to bed, and I probably fell asleep four-ish, I guess. Well, at 2:30 in the morning, I'm wide awake. I'm going, oh, this is going to end badly, poorly today. And to top it all off, you know, many of you may know the story, but Kevin Elder was going with me, and he came down with a gallbladder issue, and he wasn't able to go. So half the teaching was now, you know, my deal again, which is, it's okay. I've always got stuff to teach. I've got, help me. I've got, I can teach Malachi. I can teach Jonah pretty easy now. So I had all these options, and I was kind of sorting out. I was going to do what I was planning to do, and then I would spend one day just doing one of the books, and it's all going to be good. Well, at 2:30 in the morning, I'm out there. I'll go to there's a little chairs on the little front porch of this little hotel, and I've sat out there a lot because I like to sit outside anyway, and so that room kind of gets old to me real quickly. I can't, on television, there's only a couple stations that speak any English at all, and so nothing's ever on worth watching for me. And so I go down, and I'm just sitting there. And I open the Bible, I'm looking at my notes, and I'm thinking through things, and, you know, Lord, what do you really have here, and what do I need to do, and how do I need to do it, and all those kind of things, which I always pray. Well, this pimp walks up to me, and he offers me some pleasures. And I said, no, no thank you. He asked me another pleasure, and I said, no thank you. He offers me another pleasure, and I said, no thank you. No thank you. I'm good. Find somebody else. Well, He then said, so no girls for you. And I said, no girls for me. He said, how about cocaine? And I said, no, I quit cocaine a couple months ago. No more cocaine for me. And I went, that's a long story. And if I can tell him about the sugar thing, that doesn't work. I said, no, thank you. And then he said, how about marijuana? And I said, how good is it? You know? And I start playing with him, you know, and he's, oh, it's good. I said, no marijuana. And then he starts, and I said, wait a minute. I said, you got to understand something here. I want you to know you're wasting your time trying to sell your stuff to me. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm not going to participate in probably anything that you've got to sell. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sorry. You need to go on about your business. And he said, oh, that's why you're reading that book. And I said, yes, you recognize this is the Bible, and that's what I'm reading. You're right. This is the book that we follow, and I'm a Jesus follower, so, you know, I'm not one of your candidates. And he said, yes, I know about this book. I know about this Christianity. I said, well, good. You know, and I think we're about to have a conversation. He says, look, he said, man, he said, I've been on hard times. And he said, I had to put my bike in the pawn shop, and I need $170 to get it out, or my wife is going to cut my throat. I went, isn't that interesting? He just switched real quick. He found out I was a Christian, and so now he's throwing a bait out there that he thinks that I'm going to, you know, dress. And I said, oh, you know, I got something better for you than $170. I mean, I'm not giving the guy a dollar. You know, I'm not giving him any money at all, because I know what he's going to do with it. And I said, let me talk to you about something that's much better than the $170. And he didn't want anything to do with it. And he walks away. And I just thought about that conversation. I said, it's interesting how that guy, that pimp, has learned how to buy. If he ever finds a Christian that says no to him, then he has a back door. You know, he'll depend upon their compassion, right? And they'll maybe give him a dollar or two or something, $170. Get his bike out of the pawn shop. And so I'm sitting there, and European men go to Cambodia for pleasure. And they're all over. You can see them. They stick out like a sore thumb. I look just like one. I don't like being there when I walk around by myself because that, as I told you before, they think that's what I'm there for. When I got on the airplane, I was the only white guy on the airplane coming home. And I really wanted to stand up and say, I want y'all to know that I wasn't in Cambodia for what you think I was here for. I promise you, I didn't have anything to do with that. I'm here for another reason completely. And, you know, and I just said, people look at me and says, that's, you know, da, da, da. And so, but there's no way to do that, you know, and they can't understand me anyway. And so I watched 5, 6, maybe 7 white guys, old men like me, walking down the street like zombies. I mean, either it was way too much drink or way too many drugs, but totally, totally wiped out. And I think about all the Cambodian people that are just trying to get them to come to their little bar and get them to do their little thing, and how the battle is so obvious there that morning. At between 2:30 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the battle is on. It's on. It's going on there. And so even one guy, he stumbles over by me and he throws up right next to me in the alley. And I just go, yeah, so should I go help him? And I said, no, I'm not going to help him. Yeah, get on me. I don't want that this morning. I mean, he chose his deal, you know, and he can't understand me anyway. I don't know what language he speaks. But I sat there and watched that, and I thought about the battle going on for the souls of people in that nation. It's been going on for a long time. Satan has had his way there for a long time. And there really is a turn going on among the churches that we're participating with. People are being saved in droves. I mean, Kyle is unbelievable over there. He just shares the gospel and people respond. I mean, it's powerful. You feel the Holy Spirit. It's tense there. I mean, it's just like he just pours out a bucket. And so that morning, I'm going through there and I sense the Lord saying, teach the book of Revelation. Oh, no. No. Teach the book of Revelation. Teach the book of Revelation. Lord, I don't have my notes with me. I've got some notes on that. I've been going through it a little bit lately, and I've got some understandings, but my understandings of the book of Revelation are not popular. I don't believe about the book of Revelation like I used to. I see it in a different set of eyes now. And as I'm going through it, I just said, Lord, that's just not a good idea. We got the language problem. We got the life problem. I mean, they experience hardship. They experience persecution. They experience a difficult time being followers of Jesus. I don't. I mean, my only headaches are, you know, simple little things by comparison. And I said, Lord, how am I going to explain to them that the Bible tells them that if they're alive to see it, that they're going to go through far more harsh conditions than even they went through with the Khmer Rouge. That it's going to be crazy for them. And to go through all that and speak about those things with the seven bowls and the seven trumpets and all those things and have it clear for them to understand. And I sense the Holy Spirit say, just obey me and do what I ask you to do. That's what you're teaching anyway, isn't it? Well, sure. You see on the front of our journals that we've got for you, believe God, love without strings, and obey without reservation. So I was challenged that morning to obey without reservation. So, that morning, 8:30 in the morning, I said, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and started. And I started reluctantly. I started just really with a great deal of fear that it was going to end badly. And we would have three real long days of me trying to teach them the book of Revelation. And I must admit, it was a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit just came and delivered and showed up. And it was like I was on autopilot. Obey without reservation. Sometimes the Lord says to us, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and begin. Even when we're resistant, even when we don't believe it makes sense, even when we don't have understanding of how that's going to work out, turn to Revelation, verse 1, and begin. Obey without reservation. The importance of obedience. Let's look at the life of Philip in Acts chapter 8, and let's just look at three real keys to obedience. And I hope will be some inspiration for you to obey when you don't understand, to obey when it doesn't add up, to obey God when all you have from Him is His words, His instruction. Now, Stephen had just been stoned, killed. And it says in verse 1, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Verse 4, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Verse 7, many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed, so there was great joy in that city. We see here, Philip scattered. He's the example that we have here in the book of Acts. The disciples, the people of the Lord are scattered. And as they're scattered, they're obedient. And we see here that their obedience overcomes their circumstances. Now, we all know that one of the real breakdowns to us being obedient to the Lord are negative, bad happenings, circumstances. It says in Matthew 13, in the parable of the soils, that those four things that keep the seed from getting down in those strong roots, like Philip shared last week, and blooming into a fruit that is evidence of salvation, one is worries. Another one is fear of persecution. Worries and fear of persecution. Another one is problems. And of course, those things weigh heavily on people. They always have. Now, Philip was in great danger of being paralyzed by the problems. Instead of allowing the problems to be an instrument that uses the Holy Spirit in his life to find the power. Now, I saw that again in the life of Kyle and Amy. Now, if you have not heard their story, let me know. We need to get you with them so you can hear their story. But once again, I was just reminded, it's a fascinating thing. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an anointing. It's a special favor from the Lord on this couple in Cambodia. It is very difficult to understand. I've never seen any believer have that kind of fruit in their life. Now, we can't duplicate that he was chained to a pole when he was 9 years old by the Khmer Rouge, and they threatened his life for him to tell them where his dad is, and they lined up 8 or 9 of his family members and executed them in front of him to get him to tell them where his dad was, and he didn't know where his dad was. We can't, you know, none of us have the opportunity, and that sounds really crazy, doesn't it? None of us have the opportunity to duplicate that kind of hurt and pain. But it's exactly that hurt and pain that God is using in that nation. Hard for us to gather, hard for us to understand that, hard for us to connect those dots, because none of us have even come close to that kind of traumatic event in our lives. I know that it has built within him a great deal of difficulty in life. Refugee camp in Thailand, when they fled for their lives, refugee camp in the Philippines. He moves to our country at 15 years of age, behind in language, behind in opportunity. He did not have the kind of opportunity that you and I have had here in this country. We didn't start at 15 years old with a new language. I can't imagine if, when I was 15 years old, if I was sent to a foreign country and said, survive, learn the language, learn to go to school in this country and make it. I know that there's no way I could be able to do what the Lord's doing in that man's life. And Amy went through the same kind of things. But they are not wasting their pain. And the Lord is using it. That's the only explanation I have for that. They're like Philip here. Their obedience is overcoming hurt and pain. And so whatever it is that God has delivered you from, that God is helping you to overcome, whatever it is that you have gone through, whatever it is that the Lord has done in your life, just absolutely obey God. And just make those things a potential for the things that God wants for you. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you can experience that. The second thing we find begins in verse 9. We see that obedience is the key to power. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. The power of God. The power of God. That's the key here. They listened to him closely because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now, the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went. I would too. I'd want to know what the secret is. I want to know what the power is. I want to know what I got to do to have what he's got. That's what's going on here. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and the great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, For the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem as they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Simon wanted to buy the power. Now, we struggle with that, don't we? We may not want to buy the power, but we want to achieve the power. We want to earn the power. The power of God is through obedience, not human effort. The power of God is through surrender, not education. The power of God is when we have open hands and not closed fists. The power is when we pray, not figure out. The power is when we trust that it's by the Spirit of the Lord and not by weapons and things that man can create with his hands. Wow, we struggle with that in America, don't we? We have so many abilities. We can do so much. We have economic power. We have military power. We have education power. I mean, we insist that everybody gets educated. Now, it's up to them whether they are or not. But that's a power that's available to us. And if we're not careful, we are like Simon. We expect that we can achieve God's power. Obedience is the key to God's power. Matter of fact, we must deny ourselves, take up His cross, and follow Him. Once again, I'm going to talk about Kyle and Amy today because they're not here and I get to. Kyle struggles with his place in America. He struggles. You know he does. He talks about it freely. He's always telling me he needs to get some more. He can't lead that many pastors without having a Bible education. And I've had numerous conversations with him that says, not true. Matter of fact, don't you dare go to Bible college. Don't you dare. You don't, whatever education you're getting, we're discipling on Monday nights. He's at our Monday night group. We're discipling along the way. We're feeding them on Sundays. We're doing the best. We're ministering to them. I said, don't you dare mess this up. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, Kyle, dude, you understand the most important thing. What is that that I understand? You understand that it's through the Spirit of the Lord that all these things are happening. You will not even come close to receiving any affirmation for what the Lord's doing through you. I said, Kyle, I don't know any preachers personally. Now, mega pastors, perhaps. You know, the big church guys, maybe they're having more influence. But I'm not sure. I mean, when you run the numbers of say, there's 32 churches in some form that he's influencing their pastors. And he's influencing pastors that are not in our little group. All the pastors that come to the conference, they're not churches that we're supporting. They're just hungry to hear the word. I said, if you took all those, and if we are conservatively say that there's 100 people in each one of those churches, that's 3,200 people that you're having influence of. that you're talking with your pastors every week on the phone, that you're doing this, and you're doing it from a place of humility. And God works through humility. In the Old Testament and the New Testament are countless number of stories trying to get our understanding that it's through humility that God works. The story of Gideon in the army. Way too many men. You got to cut that down, Gideon. Because I don't want anyone thinking that people won the battle. I want them to be absolutely clear that I won the battle. And obedience is the key to God's power. It's humility. It's prayer. It's the Word. It's our availability. It's through our loving unconditionally and sacrificially that God uses and releases His power. The third thing we see here, beginning in verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now he's in Samaria. Samaria is north of Jerusalem, and the Gaza is southwest of Jerusalem. And the only instruction that the angel of the Lord gives to Philip is, go south. Always a good thing to go south, isn't it? Go south. Down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. The desert road. A desert road is always going to be the least traveled road. Still today, fewer people live in the desert than live next to water. It's true in our state. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Oh, there you go. Obedience is the path to the Jesus stuff. It's the path to the Jesus stuff. Yep, I already heard it this morning. Yep, I got my fix of the Jesus stuff. I'm good for 6 months or now. Yep, I got my fix. I saw things that I can't explain. I saw things that had nothing to do with. You bet. Saw it. The Jesus stuff is wonderful. I am absolutely addicted to the Jesus stuff. Absolutely addicted. I mean, I crave it. I want it. I seek it. I want to see miracles. I want to see things that no one else could explain. I want to see lives changed. I want to see hungry hearts when they open the Word. I love to see people that when I say, that's it for now, they look disappointed. I love it. They want to sit all day in here and all day in here. Well, the Jesus stuff is seen on the desert roads. And obedience is the path to the Jesus stuff. Philip just did what the Lord said to do. Now, did it make sense? No. Logistically, it doesn't make sense. Surely there are people closer to the Gaza Road than he is. It also doesn't make sense because the Holy Spirit is all over his preaching in Samaria. It's good stuff going on. People are being saved. The Samaritans are coming to Christ. The Holy Spirit is being received. It's a big deal. It's the Jesus stuff. But yet, Philip just started out, as verse 27 says. And he went to the desert road, and he doesn't know why he's going to the desert road. He just goes to the desert road, and he started out, and he comes up to a chariot with the Ethiopian in it, and the Lord says, go stand by the chariot. The Jesus stuff. He gets there, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked in verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? That's really a brilliant response, right? You get what you got going on there, boy? You're reading that good? I mean, how much beautiful is that? That's easy. That's the stuff of Jesus. The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" "Here I am. I've been sent." Woo! And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. It doesn't get any easier than that. It's not difficult. When the Lord's at work, the door's open. When the Lord goes to work, it's not difficult. When the Lord's at work, we don't have to beat our heads against the wall. The Lord just goes to work. This isn't human effort. This is not Philip making things happen. Philip hadn't strategized about this. Philip hadn't met with groups of teams and tried to figure out the best way to reach Africa. The Lord had it planned. "How can I unless someone sits with me and explains it?" The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, and he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. He didn't know that when he walked down the desert road. He didn't know that. Often we don't know what's next. He snatched him away. Now, Star Trek wasn't the first with "Beam Me Up, Scotty." Wasn't the first. That's what they beamed him up. They snatched him away. And all he did was just do what the Lord asked him to do. And he had a desert road experience. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Obedience is the path to the Jesus step. Now, Kyle and Amy are experiencing a desert road in Cambodia. None of us can do that. None of us can do what they're doing. We can support it like we're doing. We can encourage like we're doing. We can teach them like we're doing. But it's their desert road. And it's because they're obedient without reservation. That's all it can be. That's what it is. Your desert road may not be Cambodia. It may be your neighborhood. It may be your school. It may be your team. It may be your work. It may be along the way in your work. It may be in your travels. But if you are spending time with the Lord and you are being obedient to the Lord right where you're at right now, listen for the instructions. And when He asks you to do things that don't particularly make a lot of sense to you, rejoice, celebrate. You may have a desert road right before you. Obey Him without reservation. Give yourself a chance to see the Jesus stuff.